Luke 2, the Christmas story. The Bible said in verse 1, "It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." Verse 3, "And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child." Oh, what a great child that was. "And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men." You may be seated tonight. Brother Adam, would you pray for me tonight? Yes, thank you. Amen. Thank you, Brother Adam. The Bible said in verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." I'd like to preach a few minutes on losing sight of Christmas tonight. We live in a busy, busy world. And it seems like that in this time it becomes such a hustle and bustle that many times we really forget about the blessing of Christmas. Christmas is a special time. Christmas is a special time to our church. And certainly it looks as when the Savior was born for mankind. And then He went to a cross and took your sin and my sin. But I want to preach tonight, just use that as a little footnote, but I want to springboard out of Luke 2:41 this evening. And I want you to notice here some folks that lost sight of Christmas. You know, it really does irk me to hear somebody say, "Happy Holidays." It's not Happy Holidays, friend. It's Merry Christmas. And somebody tell you Happy Holiday, you ought to say, "Well, Merry Christmas." Amen. And so a lot of times we've lost sight of Christmas in a nation. I'm glad it's still some leadership that's not ashamed nor afraid. And it's still about Christmas. If you don't like our Christmas, leave our country. That's all I want to say tonight. It's still about Christmas. And so here we've got a great passage of Scripture that I think we can apply in our life and in our church on just some thoughts tonight on losing sight of Christmas. In Luke 2:41, the Bible said in verse 40, "The child grew," talking about Jesus, "and waxed strong in spirit. And he was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." 41, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast." Now this is the only time he's ever mentioned in this passage, until he comes upon the pages of the Bible with John the Baptist to be baptized in the river Jordan. Now he's 12 years old. The Bible said in verse 43, "When they had fulfilled the days, they returned." Now they were keeping the great Passover as God had carried His children out of the land of Egypt, and they had put the blood of the Lamb over the doorpost and the lintels, and there they were saved by the blood. Now, they were looking back to respect this great holy day in Passover at Jerusalem. They said that they returned, and look, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. It came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." And he said unto them, "How is it that ye sought me? Wish ye not that I must be about my father's business?" And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. You know what they've done here? They've lost sight of Christmas. You say, "Why do you say that, Pastor?" Because it's all about the Son. It's not about the presents under a tree, and it's not about all the pretty lights, but it is about the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, three things about this text I'd like to share with us tonight. First of all, this losing sight of Christmas. At the worship in the temple, they lost Him. At the worship of the temple, they lost Him. Now, I want to say a little bit about the facilities of worship. Many times people get so caught up in the temple that they lose sight of Him. Now, God's house ought to be the prettiest place in town. Matter of fact, the Bible said in the book of Acts that as Peter and John went up to the beautiful gate at the hour of prayer, that somebody knowed where to drop him off at because it was beautiful. God's house ought to be the prettiest place in town. We ought to take care of our sanctuary. We ought to teach our children to pick up their trash and it not look like a bunch of hogs went to church when we left. Amen. We all respect this facility, but sometimes people get so tied up in a building, they lose sight of Him. Well, Grandma and Grandpa built it, but God ain't there, and we're going to stay there anyway. You'd be surprised to the people that have lost sight of Him at the temple. Now, I want to say tonight that it's immaterial to me what pew you sit on. It's immaterial to me what stained glass you look out. It's all God's anyway. And so we need to realize that it is the Lord's house and we ought to respect it. But we don't come and worship a facility. We don't worship a building. And so don't lose sight of the Lord in the facility. The Bible said in John's Gospel, chapter number 4, and verse 22, He simply said this. Jesus said, "You worship now not what you know, but what you worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." Now, we realize that if we worship God, we must commune to God by our spirit. That's why a natural man cannot worship God, because the Bible says that you must be born again from above. And when the Spirit of God comes and lives in our heart after we're saved, then we can worship Him by the Spirit of Christ. I sure am glad that the Spirit of God lives in me tonight. Now I can worship Him in spirit and in truth. There's a lot of places seem to have a lot of spirit and very little truth. A lot of places have a whole lot of truth but very little spirit. We need to have balance and realize we thank Him for the Spirit of God that allows us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, at the worship at the temple, they lost him. Don't lose him because sight of the facility. Number two, they lost him at the facility of worship, but I think sometimes people lose him at the familiarity of worship. You know something? The Bible said in verse 41 that they came every year. Going to church ought not be mundane. I love to keep the church service mixed up. And so, you know something? In the book of Acts, when the Spirit of God moved on that early church, the Bible said, suddenly. I'm glad when God moves in suddenly. And many times we lose sight of Jesus because of the familiarity of worship. We ought to realize it's just not something that we go through every time we come here. We ought to come here in our spirit. I appreciate Brother Chris singing to him tonight. I appreciate folks that still want to serve him on a Sunday night and a Sunday morning and a Wednesday night. So don't get too familiar with the worship of God. Sometimes it'll do you good to sit in another place. Amen. We get so used to things, and I believe God wants us to be energized at the Spirit of God. I believe He wants us to realize and have some excitement about us, about what the Lord has done for us. Every time that we come up and lead in a song, we ought to smile and sing out of our heart. Don't get too familiar with the good things of the worship of God. Every year they came, and I think many times that familiarity, we lose sight of the Lord. Now, I can tell you this, in Acts 3, when Peter and John went up the steps at the temple, and the man with the palsy got saved, the Bible said that he was leaping and praising God. You know where he went? He went in the temple. And God's house ought to be the most exciting place in town. Honey, let me tell you, it's more exciting here than it is in a ball game. Amen. I'm on the winning side. Thank God I'm not looking at a scoreboard. I read the back of the book. We're getting out of this thing. And so don't lose Christ in familiarity. Just don't go through the process. Come expecting God to do something for you and do big things through you. Now, at the worship at the temple, they lost him. They lost him at the facility of worship. They lost him in the familiarity of worship. But then, I believe also you can lose him in the formality of worship. Many places God is lost sight of because of their policies and of their procedures and their programs. I love what somebody said. We had a visitor come in one day and they said, well, we'd like to have a handout of your program. They said, look, sitting up yonder. Up yonder is our program. Amen. We just follow the Lord Jesus and do what the Spirit of God wants us to do. And so be careful. Don't lose sight of Him in the formality of worship. Just don't go through the ritual. We're here to serve God. We don't have religion. We got salvation. And boy, we got somebody to shout about. What an opportunity, Liberty Baptist Church, to serve God in this last day. My goodness, I'm glad we're not eat up with procedures and programs and policies, but we can simply follow the Spirit of God. Very important to me, and I thank the Lord for that tonight. Now, losing sight of Christmas, they lost sight of Him at the worship at the temple. They lost Him. But also, watch this, not only at the worship at the temple they lost Him, but in the walk of their travels they left Him. In verse 44, look what the Bible says. Now, they had went to Jerusalem, they had been in the temple, and all of a sudden, 44, they supposing Him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought Him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. Now, first of all, look at the caution of their walk. They just left church and lost sight of Him. I think a lot of times we have a great church service and we pull out, somebody cuts us off at the red light and we start shaking our fist at them and man, we've just left a good service but we've lost sight of Him. Come on now, somebody help me tonight. I noticed today going home, it was a line all the way from Jonesville Curve all the way back to nearly Jack's. And I got to looking, somebody's slow. I never understand why people want to get in a car and go slow. Somebody say amen. My goodness, you got to be careful. You'll leave church and before long you've lost sight of Him. And in the walk of their travels, they had left Him. There was a caution of their walk. They just left church and lost sight of him. But then look in verse 44. There's the company of their walk. They were supposing him to have been in the company. Let me tell you something. You never do suppose him to be with you. You bring him with you. Amen. A lot of people suppose he was involved, but he wouldn't. And so we need to be sure that he's with us every day. Now, there's the caution of their walk and the company of their walk. But then, look in verse 46. There's the consequence of their walk. The Bible simply says this in verse 45. When they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple. I wonder where they was looking for him in Jerusalem. Took them 3 days to find him. Isn't that amazing? You go one day without him, it'll take you 3 days to get back to him. Boy, I tell you, it would save us a lot of time. If we'd start out with him, it'd save us a lot of time. Amen? Boy, we'd just take him and everything that we start out to do, it would save us a lot of time and a lot of heartache, and we wouldn't have to turn the car back around and look at about where I left him at. Amen? And so you'll notice they were supposing him to have been in the company. Now, you'll notice that it took them 4 days to get back where they were. Now, they'd even looked for him among their kinsfolk and acquaintances, and they couldn't find him. I can tell you this, the crowd you're walking with and you can't find him, then it's time for you to turn around and get with another crowd. Somebody say amen. But lastly tonight, miss losing sight of Christmas. At the worship at the temple, they lost him. And in the walk of their travels, they left him. But look lastly tonight, in the witness of their teaching, they looked for him. It's some important truths right here that I want to share with us this evening. Now, I want you to look in their witness of their teaching, how they looked for him. Now, they teach us, first of all, about distractions. It's easy to lose sight of him. It's not about the nicest gift that you can give. Don't be distracted in the season, because Christmas is about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's never forget, and let's don't be distracted. Let's learn from their distractions. You can get so distracted in your daily walk that you lose sight of him. Don't get so busy in your job that you become so distracted in your work that you've lost sight of him. Oh, we need him every day in our life, and don't get distracted. Now, we learn something from distractions, but secondly, we learn something about discernment. Now, in verse 44, look what the Bible said. They supposing him to have been in the company went a day's journey. This thing about discernment. They were getting closer to home without him, and it bothered them. You that are lost tonight, you've never trusted Jesus to be your Savior. I don't know where your line is, but let me tell you, things are drawing down. I wouldn't get too far down the road in life without him. Oh, my Christian, let me tell you, I don't want to get closer to home without him. I don't want to get on the bus with my head down. I want to get on the bus with my head up. I want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." My wife said something to me this week. She said, "Honey, whatever happened to people wanting to hear that 'well done'?" I said, "Honey, that don't bother the majority of the population no more." But I'm going to tell you something. He hung and died for me. He gave everything he had for me. And I want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And so this thing of their teaching about their witness, it teaches us about their distractions. Don't get too distracted. You'll lose sight of him. Teaches us something in their discernment, getting closer to home without him. But then thirdly, they teach us something about directions. The Bible said that they turned back again seeking him. You know, as I was looking over this evening, and doing some study time, I like what James said in chapter number 4. And I will read it in verse 7. The Bible says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God. He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Now, they teach us something in directions. They turn back again, and you know where they found him? Right where they left him. You know, when I find the Lord, when I realize that He's right where I left Him, but I'm glad He'll still be found tonight. You say, preacher, do you mean that you're not, when you mess up and you get distracted, that you're not saved? No! I'm talking about fellowship, honey. I want Him walking with me every day of my life. I sure am glad He's a God that you can get back to tonight. Lets me know failure ain't final this evening. But then lastly, I never noticed this. You see, in the witness of their teaching, they look for Him. It teaches me something. It teaches me about distractions. It teaches me about discernment. It teaches me about directions. But lastly, look what they did in verse 48. Did you catch that when I read? It teaches me about discussions. They blamed Him. In verse 48, when they saw Him, they were amazed. And His mother said to Him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sore. They blamed Him because He wasn't around. He didn't leave them. They left Him. Boy, a lot of times when we get out there and we mess up, honey, it's not His fault, it's our fault. We want to blame it on the Lord, but the Lord's right where He's always been. Don't blame Him if He's not in your company. Amen? Don't blame the Lord. Look at ourselves. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Tonight, don't lose sight of Christmas. I can tell you a good thing how not to lose Him. Just do what He's doing. If you'll just do what He's doing, you'll never go a day without Him. And He said, don't you know that I must be about my Father's business? Let me tell you, lost friend, tonight, don't leave home without Him. Oh my, He's precious and He's wonderful. Young people, don't lose sight of Christmas at the schoolhouse. And Mom and daddies, don't lose sight of Christmas at your house. You know, when Megan and Macy were little old bitty girls, you know what we'd do? We'd get them up Christmas morning, and such an exciting time. We always taught our children, we'd open that Bible up. Renee, remember, I'd read the Bible story, little old Megan and Macy. It's not about that toy tractor or that BB gun. It's about the Son of God that was virgin born. Came to live in this old world. We see Him now at 12 years old. We never see Him again. He walks back on the pages of the Bible around 30 years old. I wonder them silent years what the Lord was doing. It's an amazing thing, those silent years. I tell you, you may think it's silent tonight, but Jesus is coming. He's going to get us out of this. What a day that's going to be. Thank y'all for being here today. Stand with us tonight. I just want to share a few of them thoughts with you out of the package, and I appreciate this passage, how that it can challenge our heart and help us. Don't lose sight of Christmas. Sure is important. Remember our service here this